If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. So I'd encourage you to go ahead and find that. Tiffany shared with me last week that I don't always give people time to find the passage. So I'm going to give you more than enough time this time. So I hope that you guys have been enjoying our study in 1 Thessalonians. When you study an entire letter, you can see and learn so much more. I'm thankful for what the Lord is teaching me through 1 Thessalonians, and pray that you're learning more about Him and His love and His plan for you. So just as a review, I want to do this every time, just to remind us of where we've gone with this study. Acts 17 was when the church was actually started, and Paul and Silas came to Thessalonica proclaiming Jesus is the Messiah. Some in the synagogue believed, along with a large number of Greeks and leading women, and it was this group of new followers that started the church. The Jews persecuted the church, and Paul and Silas were forced to leave. So therefore, you know, we ended Acts 17 with Paul and Silas leaving the church. We learned about the believers in the church of Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 1. They were chosen by God. Faith, love, and hope were evident in their lives. They remained faithful. They served the living and true God and waited for Jesus to return. We learned about the ministry of Paul and Silas in 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12, as they encouraged, comforted, and implored the Thessalonians to live worthy of God. And they did that through how they spoke the gospel, how they lived to please and glorify God, how they cared for the Thessalonians, and how they served the Thessalonians. We celebrated the message of hope in 1 Thessalonians 2, 13 through 20, proclaiming that when Jesus comes again, those who believe will stand in the presence of our Lord at His coming. This morning, as we continue the series of in 1 Thessalonians, by now I hope that you have found 1 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 5. And let's read that together. It says, "Therefore, when we could no longer stand it, we thought it was better to be left alone in Athens. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you concerning your faith, so that no one will be shaken by those afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. In fact, when we were with you, we told you in advance that we were going to experience affliction. And as you know, it happened. For this reason, when I could no longer stand it, I also sent him to find out about your faith, fearing that the tempter had tempted you and that our labor might be for nothing." Now, just hold your place in 1 Thessalonians 3. We're going to come back to that passage in just a few minutes. But Paul left Thessalonica under duress. He loved and cared for the Thessalonians. He didn't want to leave, but he had to. Have you ever had to leave someone you loved and cared for? It's not easy. You don't want to leave, but you have to. You're pulled with wanting to stay and having to go. You feel sadness, anger, loss. Paul would have felt these same emotions. It's been some time since Paul had communicated with the people there, and he wants to hear how they're doing. And unlike today, Paul was not able to pick up a phone and call or FaceTime. He had to pen a letter, send it by messenger, then wait. This took days, weeks, and in some cases it took months to get a response. Timothy is the only one with Paul during this time in Athens. So sending him would be very self-sacrificing because Paul would be completely alone in Athens. Paul is thinking about the afflictions the church is facing. He wonders how it's affecting them. He wants to know how they're responding. Paul also knows that they're faced with a temptation to reject the gospel, and he wants to know if they've remained faithful. It's decided the sacrifice of leaving Paul alone in Athens is worth it. Timothy is sent to find out if they've remained faithful and to strengthen and encourage them so that no one will be shaken. We know that it took Timothy a few days to travel from Thessalonica to Athens. I actually looked on a map to get an idea. In today's period, it would take somewhere around, I think they said, a few hours to drive there if you were driving. But remember, there weren't cars back in these days. So we know that it will take Timothy a few days to travel from Thessalonica to Athens. And we know that Timothy will spend time with the Thessalonians and then return to share with Paul all that they are doing. So this didn't happen in a week's time. This probably took several days for this trip to happen. Now let's go to 1 Thessalonians 3:6. But now Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news about your faith and love. He reported that you always have good memories of us and that you long to see us as we long to see you. Again, just hold your place. We're going to come back to that. But Timothy's news about the Thessalonians was truly good news. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been waiting for an answer to something that you fear might not be good news? Ever found yourselves in that situation? To find out that it was. I want you to hold on to that feeling for a moment of what it felt like when you thought it was going to be really bad news and then they told you good news. This is what Paul felt like. Remember, he was thinking about the afflictions the church was facing and wondering how it is affecting them. He knew that they faced a temptation to reject the gospel, and he wanted to know if they had remained faithful. Timothy returns with good news about their faith and love. To hear the good news about their faith and love brought Paul encouragement and joy. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 3:7 through 9. He says, therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and affliction, we were encouraged about you through your faith. For now we live. If you stand firm in the Lord, how can we thank God for you in return for all the joy we have experienced before our God because of you? Have you ever faced something difficult where you questioned if it was worth it? I think we all have. Paul was questioning if the distress and afflictions that they faced was worth it. Timothy's good news brought encouragement and joy. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that Paul shared this with us. We regularly faced with a question of, is what we're doing worth it? Is living for Jesus Christ worth it? And we are faced with that every single day. This life that we are called to live as Christians is a truly different life. Paul makes a point in his letter to specifically mention faith and love. Of all that Paul described, the journey there and back, the words of what he was feeling like, the only thing he really tells us is good news about their faith and love. But I think that one sentence tells us a lot about this church. Why? Because it was their faith and love that set them apart. Church, we believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, that one can be saved, that there is no other way. Turn to Ephesians 2, 1 through 9. So Ephesians 2, 1 through 9 says this: "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously lived according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. And we were by nature children under wrath, as the others were also. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love that he had for us, made us alive with Christ. Even though we were dead in our trespasses, you are saved by grace. He also raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not from works, so that no one can boast. We believe that we are dead in our trespasses and sins. We are guilty of living the ways of the world, carrying out our fleshly desires and thoughts. That penalty for living like this is God's wrath. And there is nothing that you and I can do to make this right. Nothing. But our faith in Jesus Christ sets us apart. Because God, who is rich in mercy and loves us, made a way for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is what sets us apart. That is what set this church apart. Now, church, we live in a time where tolerance is important. It's okay to believe whatever you want. If you want to practice a religion, that's fine. Be tolerant of others' beliefs. If you don't want to practice religion, that's fine as well. Do whatever you please as long as you are tolerant. This is the time that we live in right now. But we believe that Jesus is the only way and that there is no other way. And this sets us apart and is viewed by many as intolerant. Therefore, we're faced with this question of, is the affliction worth it and the temptation to reject the gospel? For me, his love is worth it. I love what Romans 5, 6 through 8 says. I'm not going to give you time to turn to it, but I would encourage you just to take a look at this passage at some point in your own time. But it says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will someone die for a just person, though for a good person, perhaps someone might dare to die. But God proves his own love for us, that while we were still sinners," church, still messed up, still incomplete, not right with God, "while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Christ loved you and I so much that while we were still sinners, that he gave his life for us. There is no greater love than this. And so my prayer is that we will stand firm in the Lord and not give in to the tempter's temptation, because our faith in Christ Jesus sets us apart. But it's not the only thing that set this church apart. How we define love also set the church apart. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8. I'll give you time to look at this one. This is an important scripture to me because this scripture is one that we had at our wedding. And by the way, we're celebrating 10 years of marriage next week. This picture of love is so different than the world's picture of love. But 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8 says this: if I speak human or angelic tongues, but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have all the faith so that I can move fountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give away all my possessions and I give over my body in order to boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not arrogant, is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not irritable, does not keep records of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Our love is to be patient, kind, not envious, not boastful, not arrogant, not rude, not self-seeking, not irritable. I have to work on that one. And does not keep a record of wrongs. This is a picture of love and is a truly different picture than anything in our culture today. Our culture defines love as self-gratification. Just turn on your TV. You'll see this idea. Do what you want to do as long as it makes you feel good. That's love to our culture. If it doesn't make you feel good, it's not love. And it's okay for you to find something new. You want to know why we have such an issue with marriages not making it over a year? It's because they don't truly understand what love is. They enter into love thinking that it's a feeling, and as long as I'm feeling good, I'm loved. But as soon as that feeling changes, I'm no longer loved. So I need to go find something else that's love. I need to seek that out. And that's why we're seeing so much in this culture today, because they don't truly understand that this is true love. And it truly sets us apart from this world we live in today. But the Bible doesn't stop there. I'm going to be honest with you. These next scriptures that we're going to be reading, found in Luke 6, 27 through 35, are difficult scriptures to read, especially as a Christian. They are hard scriptures for us to live as Christians. But it is how God calls us to love. And I know that I cannot love this way on my own, and that the only way I can love this way is through Him. But Luke 6, 27 through 35 says this: but I say to you who listen, love your enemies. Do what is good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone hits you on the cheek, offer the other side. And if anyone takes away your coat, don't hold back your shirt either. Give to everyone who asks, and from someone who takes your things, don't ask for them back. Just as you want others to do for you, do the same for them. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do what is good to those who are good to you, what credit is that? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do what is good, and lend expecting nothing in return. Guys, I as I was working through this sermon this week, I had to ask God's help on this very passage. There is a sister who I deeply love that I work with that we had a horrible confrontation a few weeks ago. And inside of me, I do not want to trust her again. Inside of me, everything says, don't give her a chance to hurt you again. But as I read this passage, I have to struggle with this love that God is calling us to love. And the only thing I can do, I can tell you that I still am struggling with wanting to trust her, but I'm asking God to help me love her this way. And I pray that he will give me the strength to love her this way. And I think if we were being honest in this room, there is someone that all of us could name that we struggle with loving this way. This can only be accomplished through the help of God. I mean, love your enemies. Do what is good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone hits you on the cheek, offer the other also. Who does this? Yet this is what God calls love. This love truly does set us apart from the world, because the first thing the world says, if somebody hits you, what do? You hit them back. If somebody takes something from you, what do? You take it back. If someone is dishonest and treats you wrong, what do? You don't trust them again. And yet everything that is laid out in this passage says the opposite to those reactions. What Jesus describes in Luke 6:27 through 36, I'm going to be honest with you and tell you, can only be accomplished with God's help. None of us naturally love this way. But with God, we can. And so how we define love sets us apart. So our faith and love set the Thessalonians apart and is what sets you and I apart. This faith and love will come with afflictions and temptations. But Paul encourages them to stand firm in the Lord. So this morning, as we close, I'd like to close with Paul's prayer from the Thessalonians, found in 1 Thessalonians 3. 10 through 13. And I want you guys to look at this with me. And so if you'll turn to your Bibles in 1 Thessalonians 3, 10 through 13, this is Paul's prayer for the church. And he says, "We pray very earnestly night and day to see you face to face and complete what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you." Paul so desperately wanted to see these people again and prayed and asked God, "Please give me that opportunity." He goes on to say, "And may the Lord cause you to increase and overflow with love for one another and for everyone, just as we do for you. May he take your hearts, may he make your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father, and at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all the saints. Amen." Paul prayed this prayer earnestly night and day. He prayed that he would one day get to see them, that the Lord will increase and overflow their love, and that the Lord will make their hearts blameless and holy. This morning, as we enter into our time of commitment, we invite you to respond in two ways. One, if you're here and have not come to a point in your life where you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved, I want you to know he offers grace to you. No matter what you have done, you can be saved by grace through faith. God loves you and wants you to accept his gift of grace. And he tells us in Romans 10, 8 through 11, this is the message of faith that we proclaim. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says that everyone who believes on him will not be put to shame, since there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, because the same Lord of all richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Everyone who believes on him will not be put to shame. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will you accept God's gift of grace today? Two, I want to ask you to commit to praying this prayer, 1 Thessalonians 3:11, for me, for yourself, for your family, for your friends, and for the church. Guys, we need the Lord to increase our love and to purify our hearts. And please pray that we will stand firm in the Lord. For all of us will experience affliction, and all of us will be tempted to turn away. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much just for Paul's story. We thank you so much that he gave us this story. The story, Father, of encouragement. The story of joy, for the Thessalonians stood firm. And God, as we face afflictions, as we face trials, we pray that you will help us stand firm. God, we pray for your help to love like you call us to love. We know that in our own power, in our own might, we cannot accomplish this, that it can only happen through you. And so, God, help us rely and trust you. Help us love as you have called us to love. And God, we pray for the people who might hear this message who have not yet accepted you as Savior. Lord, may they recognize their need for the only one that can save them, Jesus Christ. And may they be moved to accept you as Lord and Savior into their lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.